Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have been thinking over a period of many weeks about the subject of what is a true Christian family and home. What is a home which really meets God's approval, which God would bless and favor because He approves of it, and because He accepts what that home is before Him? We have not been able to speak of all of the aspects of this. I pointed this out before. We simply have had to choose a couple of the main aspects of this. And so I chose, first of all, to give a series of messages on the subject, what qualities should husbands and wives expect in each other? What are some of these spiritual qualities, which we expect in ourselves, of course, but we also have a right to expect in the spouse we have married? I also applied this to young people, and that is that in the lives of young people, when they're planning to be married, if they find that spiritual qualities are simply not present in the one they're planning to marry, and yet these qualities are very important to them themselves, it should give them some warning, some pause, in other words, in their lives. Is this really the person God wants me to marry? When it's unlikely that these spiritual qualities would ever be present in the other person, or at least most of them would be lacking, and yet you yourself feel, as a young person, that these qualities are important, they're important to you in your life, and they should be to the other person, then you take this as a danger sign. Now, we took a number of these qualities, and now we're talking about the kind of qualities that children should see in the parents. We're talking now of families now that are established, families where there are children in the family. These children may be small, but we're talking about qualities that children should see in the parents. And this is a fair way to look at it. God sets a very high standard for parents. It's not only in the husband-wife relationship, but it's in the parent-child relationship. God sets a very high standard. He expects much of us. And He wants many spiritual qualities to be present in us so that our lives will deeply affect the lives of our children in a spiritual way, that our lives will be used to help these children know the Lord and to follow Him with all their hearts, that our lives would be examples and influences upon the lives of our children in spiritual ways. So we've thought a number of these. And today, I want to speak about spiritual involvement in the lives of our children. I've chosen a rather strange passage from Genesis chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. In fact, I want to begin with verse 24. And when her days were fulfilled for her to be delivered, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now we're speaking about the subject of involvement. I believe with all my heart in the involvement of both parents in the lives of all children. There is a great danger in Christian homes, and it's true, of course, in any home, but it's also true in Christian homes. There is great danger of parents favoring one child over another. I spoke to a woman recently who had been favored in a negative way by her parents. How can this be? In other words, her mother seemed to love the other three sisters more than they loved this woman. And the woman grew up feeling that she was rejected by her mother. In other words, it was a negative type of thing. Her mother made every possible opportunity, she created every possible opportunity to let this woman know her disapproval of her. And even today, this mother seems to act in the same way towards this daughter. She favors the other girls. Now, this particular woman is living for the Lord with all her heart. She has a good family. She's devoted to the Lord. She's dedicated to the Lord. The mother apparently is a Christian, and the mother should show some favor at least towards this daughter, at least equal favor with the others. The others are not living for the Lord, it would seem. And yet even still, the mother seems to take every opportunity to show her disapproval of this woman of God. And so this has hurt this mother. This is the way she grew up. This is the way her adult life still is. The mother is still expressing this disapproval, this constant disapproval and criticism of this daughter. Now, sometimes children grow up like this. They feel, my father, my mother, or my father and my mother have never really been involved in my life. When I was younger, and my children were still in primary ages, now my children are all married, I have 17 grandchildren, but when I was younger and I was raising these children, I had to be very careful that every child knew that I cared equally for each of them. In other words, no child was ever left out. No child was ever favored one over the other. Now this, of course, was a problem between Isaac and Rebekah, that Isaac favored one son and Rebekah favored the other. And this became a major problem. It became a source of division in the home, where the parents were not wise in the way they raised these two children, these two boys. And both of the boys had great ability, apparently. The one was a great hunter, and the other had other very sensitive qualities. There was no reason why Esau could not have been a very spiritual man, even though God's plan was to someday use Jacob especially as the one through whom the nation of Israel would come. But there was no reason why Esau could not have been a very spiritual man. And I attribute part of this. Of course, it's fair to say that Esau himself rebelled against God. But I attribute part of this to the attitude of his parents. If he had had a mother, for instance, who favored him equally with Jacob, who deeply cared for this son who was a hunter, even though he may not have been a very favorable son, may not have been a son that was very handsome and one that she would want to favor. But if he had had a mother who would have been very sensitive to this son, the son named Esau, and would have been involved in his life as well, would have shown him concern and love, and would have shown him the care that she showed for the other one, I'm sure that Esau might have turned out differently. But instead, the husband and the wife were divided in the way they favored the children. I want to make some suggestions to you concerning this very, very important subject. A few suggestions to you. First of all, remember that your children, each of them, suppose you have 3, 4, 5 children, each of these children is different one from the other. You cannot expect the same things of one that you would expect from the other ones. They are different. God has made them different. They have different personalities. They have different talents. They have different achievements in life. Some of your children may be very, very intelligent children. In other words, they would be the top students in the school, in their class at the school. They would be the top students. Some of your children may be very gifted with singing, gifted in other ways in music, or in speaking, whatever the case might be. You have to be very careful that you're not favoring the child simply because of some ability he has. Every one of your children is valuable in the eyes of God. And in the eyes of God, your children are equal. In other words, you may favor one because of talents or ability, but God doesn't look at them that way. God looks at them, every one of them, as having a life which potentially can be used of God. God might call one of your children to be a pastor or a missionary someday. God might call one to be a gifted speaker, one who would pastor a large church someday. But that child, in the eyes of God, is no more valuable than a person who may work the rest of his life in a factory, simply because he never had the abilities or could reach the achievements of his brother. But in the eyes of God, that child is equal with the brother who has reached great, great achievements. And what I'm trying to say is this, that as you look at your children, you're going to have to decide, my children are different, but I love every single one of them equally. Or I love both of them. You may have just two, as Isaac and Rebekah had. You may have just the two, but I love both of them equally. And I'm going to seek to develop the talents and the abilities according to what God has given them. I'm going to commend both of them for what they achieve. I'm going to urge them, of course, to do things with all their hearts. This is certainly the teaching of the Scriptures. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, and so forth. I'm going to teach them that whatever their abilities and talents might be, I will not criticize them if they have done what they've done with all their hearts. So if a student is not an A student, if a student never will be the top student in the class, as long as this student has faithfully applied himself, I will still commend that student as much as I would the son who is the top student in the class and who reaches great achievements. I will make sure that the feelings of every child are equally respected and so forth. In other words, I will be involved. And so this means attending the games of your children. It means attending special events. It means taking care that the concerns of your children are always before you. Whatever it is, you're involved in the lives of your children. You're deeply involved in their lives. It's not just meeting them at the supper table or at the breakfast table, but you're concerned what happened at school today. I remember when our children were in primary school and our older daughter was just about to go into high school. But I remember when we would meet around the table, God had had to teach me how to be a better father. And so I was home every night and we would have our family time around the table. No one would get up from the table. And we would have our family time around the table. There would be about an hour to an hour and a half. This sounds strange to some of you that we would spend around the table. We would have, first of all, a time of worship, a time of singing. Our children loved to sing. We had children who had four different types of voices, and they loved to sing. So we would have a time of singing. We would have scripture reading. We would have prayer. Usually three of us would pray. The two boys and myself would pray one night, and then the two girls and my wife would pray the next night. And then after we finished our time of family worship, just 20 to 25 minutes we would spend in family worship, then we would just have communication around the table. Every child was equally regarded. We'd go around the table, what happened in school today? Sometimes it would be funny things. Sometimes things that were difficult for them. Sometimes problems would have arisen during the day. And as a family, we deeply loved each other. The children loved each other. We parents loved each child. And so we would just go around the table and we would discuss things together. What are the solutions to some of the problems? And what about life at school? What about some of the influences at school? They went to a non-Christian school. It was a very moral type of school, but it was a non-Christian school. And there were influences there which were not good. And what could we do as a family? And so everything, the children were included in everything. We went around the table. And then in all of our activities, the children were included. No child was excluded from anything. So whether it was praise, or whether it was activities, or whatever it was, no child was excluded. Every child was included. And so we followed this in our family. What I want to say to you as parents is this. You can be involved in the lives of your children, but make sure that no child is left out, that every child is highly regarded, every child is valued in your family, that no child grows up feeling that somehow he or she has been left out, and that they're not as highly regarded as other members of the family. Even when a child does not always meet our expectations, we let them know you are still highly regarded in our family. But we pray for you, and we wish that you would meet the expectations that God has for you. But we want you to know we never think badly of you, and we never look down on you, because you don't always meet our expectations. We're praying that someday you will. So it's my prayer that as we think of family life, and especially what our children should think of us, that they will realize as they grow up, we've been involved in their lives in every way, and that we've been involved in every one of their lives, and that no one has been left out. May God help you to be this kind of a parent.